And we've got Stephen Bassett with us. We're going to take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, before calls, what about the possibility of this false flag we keep hearing, this phony UFO announcement in order to create more problems on this planet?
Well, the simple fact is the trust in government now is so bad. 9% for Congress, about 14% for the political media, and 27% for the president. That people are deeply suspicious of anything it does.
Anything.
And so given the magnitude of this, I can understand why those would be very concerned. It's been brought up. People have written about it. Sure, if you've got electrogravitic and a gravitic craft that you can fly at will, and they were to appear somewhere and blow something up, well, it's not a hard sell, those nasty ETs did that. Here's what I have to say. I've been at this for 12 years, talked to an awful lot of people, researchers, inside, outside, and everything else. And I do not see any evidence that I consider substantive and probative pointing to such an attempt by the government to do that. I just don't see it. If I did, I would say so, right?
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that as disclosure gets close, that somebody in some room somewhere down there in the bowels of Washington, D.C. doesn't raise their hand and say, why don't we take a moment here and think about what we might be able to do with this thing? I believe they'll be shouted down. But, hey, if it happens, we've never been better prepared. We got the Internet. We've got news media all over the place. The issue has been out there for a very long time. So if they want to make that move, well, I guess they can try. But I got a feeling we'll have it picked apart and disassembled in 48 hours. But nevertheless, we have to be alert, and I'm going to be alert, and I will call it as I see it. But I don't see it. I think that they're going to play it straight, George, and I certainly hope they do.
All right, to the phones we go then. East of the Rockies, we've got you, Jerry, in Kentucky, on with Stephen Bassett. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning or afternoon, whichever it is.
Sure thing.
I actually thought of another question. The first one was, how long do you think it'll take to have animal mutilations in some way explained? In other words, will that come out early on or very late on in the process?
Well, getting back to what I was saying, I think the uncomfortable stuff like animal mutilations, if in fact they're ET in origin, they certainly seem that way, abductions, that kind of thing, that's going to be later, right? It doesn't mean the questions won't get asked, but they'll avoid them. So hold that stuff off until we've got now, I guess you could say, the good stuff that will get people excited and looking ahead, and then they can bring some of that other material out and it'll get dealt with. But ultimately, it all will get dealt with, all right? And there's something else here that's more complicated to speak to. I'll try to be very brief, and that's this. We got a major problem because of the huge military intelligence structures that were built up starting in the 40s. Soviet Union had the same problem. Germany had that. East Germany had the problem. China, to some degree. It's out of control. It needs desperately to be reformed, but almost nothing is being done about it. This will give us the best chance to open up that secret empire, as I call it, and do some reform, and provide oversight, restructure, probably reduction in size. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity, we're making a huge mistake. So the dealing with those structures and reforming so that we get away from the national security states and the surveillance states that are coming our way, and we get proper oversight of these structures to protect ourselves against losing our freedoms, this is part and parcel with the disclosure event, because there's no other event, no other change that could remotely give us the kind of access that this event will give us, because the efforts to reform these structures have been absolutely without almost any effect. And the secret empire has got to be reformed. I'm not condemning the people that have run the military intelligence community. I'm simply saying it's too big, it's too large, it is not properly oversought. And that has to change. And so that's another opportunity we're going to have if we can get disclosure done in the spring.
John, Long Island, New York. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Go ahead, John. Good.
My question to you, Steve, is, it sounds kind of crazy, but, any of the ex-presidents will say it could be Reagan, Carter, it could be JFK, it could be anybody. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they have their own private army and actually raid Area 51? You think that would actually solidify a second term? And I don't know if it's treason or what it could be, but why wouldn't they do that?
Well, it would be treason. We don't operate that way in America, thank goodness. Over the years, one of the things we've learned, Grant Cameron, of course, the leading researcher in this area, presidentialufo.com, it's all there. In fact, Grant and I've got a book. It's two publishers are looking at right now in New York about presidents and the UFO issue. Hopefully it'll get picked up and we'll get it out. Over the years, we've learned that some presidents are told more than others. That's disturbing. We've learned that some presidents are told more if they're of the right political party. All right? That's disturbing. And some possibly have been told nothing at all. That's not good, right? And so the president, without cooperation of the military intelligence community, really is almost impossible for them to take action. And there's all kinds of stories here involving Kennedy and an effort he might have made and what have you. The president is not all-powerful. And so anytime you have a section of the government capable of playing that game, it's a dangerous place to be, and we have been there, and we need to get away from that. We need president. If we're going to spend the $5 billion electing the Congress and the president, that's how much it's going to cost this year. If we're going to go through 2 years of listening to these stump speeches, then by God, the president ought to get into office and have power to do something, right? And not suddenly be beholden to, quote, unaccounted for cabals of individuals working in the basements of building in Washington, D.C. So we need to get away from that. And that's parcel of, again, what we need to do starting in the spring of next year.
Stephen, what drives Stephen Bassett? I mean, you know, you're not becoming a zillionaire doing this. Well, you know that. I know that. I mean, if you break even on conferences, you're lucky. You do it for a passion. What drives you?
This thing isn't about me, George. There's a whole bunch of people involved. It's a movement developing. I ended up kind of in the front of the thing, and fine, somebody needs to be out there. But this is political activism. The same thing that drives me is what drove the women to try to get women the right to vote and start a women's empowerment movement starting in the late 1900s and early 20th century. It's the same thing that drove the civil rights leaders and other activist movements that we all know about. There are huge political and social issues here. This country is in deep trouble, and I feel I can make a difference. Every political activist, I think, feels that way. I'm also committed to nonviolence. Violence doesn't work. And once you get into it, and once you get going, and you see the progress being made, and you have opportunities, it becomes your life. And you don't get any money. I've lost, you don't know how much money I've lost. But my payment comes from the many, many people who contact me all the time, and they're so happy that someone is moving forward with this, that's taking it out there. And there are many other people I'm working with, many websites, all part of this. That's the kind of currency we work on, but we still are going to have funding. And believe me, post-disclosure, I'm going to try to raise as much money as possible so that we can have the funds to, quote, be part of and play, be a player in the post-disclosure world. But right now we need people power, all right? And the role of an activist is to give people a sort of a template by which they can act together. Right, that's been true of every activist movement in history. And right now, again, I can't emphasize this enough, we have this unbelievable opportunity where if enough people were to act in concert to get some correspondence to Washington, D.C., to the president-elect at this particular time, during that transition period, it would be the right lever at the right spot with enough force behind it to move that mountain. And this window of opportunity may not come again for a while. And it's a simple thing to do, a letter in the box. And if you don't get it out right away, don't worry. We're going to be marketing this all the way through the end of the year and into January. It's going to be constant. And we're hoping to get 1 million. But we don't need 1 million right away. We need 20, 30, 40,000 letters to come in strong right off the bat.
Stephen, when you're with us on the Friday night show at the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference in Las Vegas,
right,
during your segment, perfect opportunity for you once again to tell everybody to do this.
Oh, yeah, and I'll update your audience about what's going on. Plus, I should mention that after the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, UFOconference.com, I'm going to be appearing in Sedona on the 12th of November, a few days later, at the Creative Life Center there, 7 p.m., and I'll be updating people, you know, in Sedona, our good friends there. I know you have a lot of listeners there, about what's going on, and we'll be talking about some of these issues. Got some PowerPoint. Going to have a friend named Victoria Pratt Keating, who's a national recording artist. She's going to be singing some songs she's written specifically for these issues, right? Could be a wonderful evening at Sedona Creative Life Center at 7 p.m. on Wednesday as well.
Excellent. Let's go to Michael in Texas. You're on with Stephen Bassett. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Steve.
Hi.
How are you guys? Good
morning.
I just want to know, like, after all these years of secrecy, would the government be willing to share like their technology with energy and other stuff like that, and instead of going toward wind power and solar power, do you think that they would move in that direction?
They have to. There's nothing wrong with wind and solar power. There's plenty wrong with biofuel. I hate biofuel. It's a disaster. But we need to develop those things, but we need to do far more than that. And they, as you know, every day we're told about another major problem we're facing, melting polar ice caps, holes in the ozone, melting tundra. Now, the Pentagon warns us we're going to have wars over water and food and terrorism on the rise because of lack of resources. We're told all these things. We're scared to death. But where are the solutions? When you listen to the solutions they try to mutter, they're useless. We need something big. Well, those craft are capable of operating non-inertially, traveling at tens of thousands of miles an hour, hovering at will, 30 foot across, without a lot of space. Imagine a semi-tractor trailer that could do that. That would be one serious engine in that truck, wouldn't it? They've been working on them for 60 years. There's evidence they've made progress. We have films of them flying, probably their own versions, over some bases. There's all kinds of hints that have turned up, plus some witnesses that have come forward. I believe they've made substantial progress on the anti-gravitic drive propulsion and on the energy, whatever it is, quantum field, zero point, I don't care. I just know that it gives us a lot more BTUs for the buck than a can of kerosene. You know what I'm saying? So if people like the idea of maybe 50-cent gasoline for a while we make the transition, if they like the idea of heating their home for a whole month in New Hampshire for $8 a month or something, they need to get down and write a letter to the president-elect and get it in a box on the 5th of November, because that technology is transformative. And if they haven't perfected it completely, then I would suggest it might help if we had the benefit of the intellectual resources of the rest of the 6 billion people on the planet. You know what I'm saying? Right? And get them to work on it and see what we've got. But right now, and I can say this with high confidence, the only reason that that technology is not being in play right now to solve our problems is because they could not bring it out without ending the truth embargo, and they couldn't end the truth embargo. End the truth embargo, get the tech, right? That's why I have married up, in my mind, I think the Democrats have married up strategically disclosure with the new Apollo project, because when you put the two together, you've got yourself an unbelievable potential change agent there. And if they're smart, they're going to play that card. But we have to make sure they play that card. That's why I need your audience, George, to act now and write that letter, get it ready to go sometime in the next 77 days. But I need a lot of them in the mail on the 5th or 6th.
Tennessee, Philip, take it away. Go, Philip. Hi.
Hey, George, this is Philip from Tennessee. Sure. I'd like to ask your guest, what does he think the religious implications would be for something like this, the disclosure? I mean, he's saying a lot of stuff about what would be good about it, but what about, I mean, there's religious zealots in all religions. What do you think would happen there?
Well, one of the many signs that I was alluding to earlier in the show, George, is the actions of the Catholic Church. Corrado Balducci, who has passed away recently.
We lost another good one.
Corrado, in his retirement, absolutely with the awareness of the Pope and other high officials in the Vatican, was going around talking about the ET issue and why it was not a big deal, why the Catholic Church was fine with it. And people paid attention, and he played an important role there. And I gave him an award. I gave him a disclosure award at the X conference. Well, as you know, that is Corrado Balducci, in his late 70s, retired. Not too long ago, the very young, very active head of the Vatican Astronomy, the Vatican astronomer, Gabriel Funes, just happens to wake up one morning and say, I think I'll tell the press that the Catholic Church has got no problem with extraterrestrials and considers them our brothers under God. You think that's an accident? Do you think there's any chance that he did not do that because he was told to do it? And why would he have been told to do it? The Catholic Church is ready, has been ready for some time. They've known about the ET presence for a very long time. They learned about it primarily through their uncalculable number of priests taking confessions throughout the world for the last, 1,500 years?
Yeah.
So the Catholic Church is ready. The evangelicals are not a problem. I believe they're going to be fine. And if you look and talk to them personally, it's not a problem. Some of their leaders have served them poorly. The Asian religions are as adaptable as they could possibly be. No problem there. The Muslim faith right now, it may be somewhat disconcerting to them because they're under such enormous pressure, going through some difficult times. But overall, I think I can say safely that the religion, particularly, is more adaptable than any of the other institutions. Frankly, I am not worried about religion adapting to this. I don't see a problem. I see more of a risk of some economic fluctuations, but. And when the outcome, when the dust settles, we're going to be far better off economically when this thing is out and rolling than we are now. So, no, I'm not worried about it. In fact, I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you dinner, you know, at the UFO cafe in Sedona, that in the year after disclosure, church membership will go up.
Okay, let's go next to Van Nuys, California. Derek, how are you? Go ahead.
Very good, thank you. Yes, your guest. It's sort of confusing. I've been listening to your show for quite a long time, and there's thousands and thousands of reports of UFO reports throughout, you know, just the United States alone. And it's been documented throughout thousands of years. Even in the Bible, there's things about wheels in the sky turning, you know, the sun falling down, which is a glowing orb. So most of us really do know that this is going on. But now, for disclosure, now, this is, I mean, at this late at night, people could handle the truth. A lot of coast-to-coast listeners could handle the truth. I mean, I've worked in defense, and I've talked to people, and I've seen something unusual myself. So, I mean, disclosure for me, I've already had it myself. I've already seen these things and know about it. Now, for yourself, I was just sort of curious about yourself. Why is disclosure so important to you personally? It seems like almost like you don't believe it yourself, that you need some sort of proof that it does exist. I don't even think you've seen one. Have you seen a UFO yet?
No. But the answer to your question is very straightforward. What you're referring to and what you've experienced is disclosure with a small d. This activist effort is to attain a disclosure with a capital D. The formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by the world governments. When that happens, then the universities will start teaching it. The foundations will start funding it. The government will start openly discussing it and researching it. The information will become available. Trust in government will be improved, right? Opportunities will abound, right? This won't take place with small d disclosure. It has to take place with large d disclosure, and that is the difference, and it is a non-trivial difference. Look, in spite of the fact that so many people have seen these things, in spite of the fact that you're aware of it, half the American people poll that they believe UFOs are behind the ET phenomena, not a single university or college in the United States has an accredited course on the subject because they are completely held hostage to the truth embargo. Right. Plus, the media has been compromised at the level of the networks and the major papers. That's not good. So, you know, it's like what the government does matters, you know, like a lot of us feel that peace is better than war. But if the government decides to hold a war and send a bunch of people there, guess what? They have to go. So we got to get the government to disclose so that these other things can happen. And that's the reason for the activism.
Stephen, give us your websites again before we take the break and come back with final calls.
The entire Facts on Washington, this whole effort to get a million correspondences to the president-elect, is home-based at factsonwashington.org. That's F-A-X on Washington.org. Main site for Paradigm Research Group with links to everything, paradigmresearchgroup.org. And by the way, I just found out, got an email, Joseph Buckman, you know, in Utah, the paper just announced he's polling at 12%. 12%, and he's been openly calling for disclosure and acknowledging the ET presence in his campaign for almost 8 months. That's
well,
cool.
If he gets elected, let's hope he puts his money where his mouth is, right? Back in a moment with Stephen Bassett on Coast to Coast AM. Now, Friday night, we'll have a live Coast to Coast program out of the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference in Las Vegas. So we won't have open lines Friday night, but we will have open lines on our Monday night Coast to Coast program. So there you have it. So our next show will have open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, in your heart of hearts, what do you think has been going on this planet, and for how long? Since the beginning of mankind, even further?
There's some wonderful work done by some really tough researchers that seem to have found evidence for comings and goings going back as far as we can know. And that's not going to surprise me. I'm concerned about the last 61 years, of course. That's what to play right now, and that's what's important. But I'm dying. One of the things I'm dying to learn in a post-disclosure world is how far back it does go, yeah. What kind of interactions there were, that kind of history. Hopefully that'll become available.
And if those rumors that we've heard are true, like MJ-12 and things like that, then I would love to hear those things.
Well, look, there's a history here that's unbelievably critical. This is the most important, I believe, transitional event in all of human history that we know of. You know, going back to at least to the flood. And so I'm hope that the governments are not destroying any documents. I hope they're keeping these records no matter how awkward, and so that we will be able to eventually put the history together, and that the future generations will be able to study carefully everything that happened, particularly from 1947 on. This is heavy stuff, and because of the nature of the secrecy aspect and the other stuff, there's a greater likelihood that the records could be destroyed. It's happened before in history.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And we don't want it to happen this time. And so we will learn a lot, and I'm looking forward to that. But it's hard to know. You know, George, there's so much here. It's important to keep focused. We're not going to learn much until disclosure takes place. It's just that simple. And so our focus needs to be there. Get disclosure, and then we'll go from there. And the opportunity is at hand. I think that if the people step forward right now at this time, they can seal the deal. And finally, we will at least know that this ET presence is real and confirmed and acknowledged. And then we will all engage it together and see what happens. But we've got to act right now. It's critical because something's going to happen. They're going to blow something up. Somebody's going to invade something. You know what I'm talking about? And it all gets put on the back shelf along with everything else. That
oh,
needs
yeah.
to get done.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to send a clear message to the government and to the and also to the media. By the way, whatever the government's response to this, the media, if we can get that level of correspondence, is going to go bonkers, all right?
And they're primed right now.
And if they get rocking, let me tell you, I don't think the embargo could possibly withstand it.
To the phones we go again, west of the Rockies. Adam, take it away. Hi, Adam.
Say the spring comes around, the election's over, the new president's in, the spring comes around, and all your efforts, but good job, by the way, you're excellent. I really wish there was more people like you out there. But let's say that nothing happens like we want to. Let's say we tried, but not enough letters went in, or something happened like that, and nothing seems to be going forward. Do you support doing doing it again, putting the pressure on again? I recommend that we keep the pressure on.
Oh, absolutely. I
recommend that we everybody out there needs to get involved with this. It's up to us to put the pressure on the government. And, you know, one other thing is that I heard stories about when Ronald Reagan was president, about, you know, when he made that famous speech at the UN about an alien threat, that Colin Powell was working closely with Reagan in those days. And Colin Powell was actually having to keep telling Reagan, oh, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that. We've got to take it out of your speech. And Reagan put it back in his speech or stuff like that. I know that Colin Powell knows about it. Let's send a million faxes to Colin Powell also or something like that. I don't know. I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Well, look, your point is clear. The pressure is not going to stop. If this million faxes is even remotely successful, we're going to have a whole lot of new options come next year. The X conference will take place April 17 through 19 at the Hilton Gaithersburg, x-conference.com. More witnesses are going to come forward. More news articles are going to take place. More documents are going to be dumped out of the UK. And yeah, if we can get some funding, boy, if I could get my hands on about $200,000, let me tell you, I could do some stuff in Washington, D.C., but we will use every advocacy tool we have, and we are relentless. This is simply not going to stop, and I think the government knows this. Look, I believe the government stopped actively supporting the embargo in around late 1999, believe it or not, and the thing has really been running on its momentum for the last 8 years. We have a lot of allies on the inside, too. But it's not guaranteed. Your point is well taken. It's not guaranteed. What if it doesn't happen? We'll deal with that. But I can assure you, and I can assure the government if they're listening, that we are not going to relent. This is too big to step down from. But first, let's get a million letters, faxes, and emails to the president-elect and see what happens.
Let's go back to the phones. Kim in Utah, first-time caller. Hey, Kim.
Hey, listen, this is a great program tonight, as always, George.
Thank you, Kim.
And, Stephen, I've got to ask you, you sound like the spokesperson for the Democratic Friday Night Surprise with this Apollo program and so forth. Do you know anything about the Republicans? Are they going to have a Friday Night Surprise, too?
Let me make it very clear. I'm very much worried that people, if their candidate doesn't win, right, on Tuesday, that they may say, well, what the hell, I don't need to write a letter to the president-elect, not the one I voted for. No. This is not a Democrat or a Republican thing. Both parties are under great pressure to do this. We need to send that letter, whoever wins. I know a lot more about the Democrats' positions here and some of the things that have happened with respect to Clinton and Podesta and Richardson and so many others, and others. Less about the Republicans. They may be more committed to this than the Democrats. I just don't know. But there are positives. In other words, as I mentioned, McCain has such good ties with the military intelligence community. That's very favorable from a post-disclosure perspective. So, but again, I don't know. I'm not predicting a win for either one. I know the Democrats are ahead. And I'm not saying that disclosure will be go better under one party or another. It's just much too big and complex a matter to say. I'm just trying to lay it out the way that it is, all right, and have people look at it as closely as possible, and to try to depoliticize it to the extent that I can. It is not a political partisan issue. This is a global special issue, and it must be resolved on the benefit of the entire planet and all that live here, because the issues at stake are affecting everybody, and we're now so connected, whether we want to be or not, that when huge parts of our world go down, we all go down with it. So that's best I can say. If I knew more about this internal specifics of the Republican interest here, I would certainly relay them. I just don't know right now.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Rochester, New York. Hello, Joyce. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Joyce.
Sure.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I have a lot of respect for what you're trying to do. I think it's important.
You're welcome.
My comment and question would be, I guess I'm wondering about the timing of this. Such a massive campaign the day after an election, might it not help you strategically or from a public relations stance to put a little distance there, you know, let the new guy, whoever it may be, change the locks before this kind of a media assault, and that's really what you referred to it as earlier, that the media, quote-unquote, would go nuts.
Yes.
Is this the best timing for it with everything else that this country is facing?
Here's why timing's ideal. First of all, once the president takes office in January 20, a lot of things on the plate. A lot less on the plate during the transition period. Plus, the transition period is an extremely slow news, political news time, and the press is going to be looking for stories. Secondly, by getting this into play during the transition, right, by getting this, by having the people make their statement clear and bold early on, that gives them the opportunity in a much more private way to plan and decide what to do, right, before they actually have to take office, to make some discreet inquiries and what have you. And then if the press gets worked up, great, it's less likely to take away from other matters. This is a very slow time of year. It's the perfect time to give the media something powerful like this to work on. It's like the perfect storm in a way. It's much harder to penetrate to a sitting president who is faced with all this stuff, and you got to send your stuff to the White House. We need to do it during this transition period for all of these reasons and other reasons. And the ultimate timing. Well, look, the truth embargo should have happened probably under George H.W. Bush's second administration. It should have happened right around 1993. We're already 15 years late, and you know what's happened in the last 15 years, right? So we really can't wait any longer. It's got to happen now. The sooner, the better.
Next up, let's go to Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Dan. Take it away.
Morning, George, Steve.
Morning, Dan.
Morning. Great show. I was wondering, how do you know the aliens would allow disclosure?
I don't know. But here's what we do know, that however advanced their technology, they certainly are seen a lot. We see them coming and going. We got photographs. We got videos. We've got tens of thousands of contact reports being reported. Memories apparently are not being blocked that effectively. They're just rather ostentatious. Now, they don't go so far as to fly a couple hundred major ships over New York and Washington, which would scare the hell out of everybody and certainly end the matter right then and there. But discreet they are not. And so the conclusion from that, there's only two possibilities. One, that they really are forcing the issue, or they don't care. And, you know, whichever one it is, that's not the same thing as blocking disclosure. I've heard rumors that they would threaten the government if the government were to go formal on this. Well, you know, if that's the case, they sure aren't helping the government, right? Because, my Lord, enough UFOs have flown over Mexico. Well, I think, what is it, Simon Musong got like 8,000 videos now? The sightings keep up. So I calculate, I think it's a good educated guess, that in fact they are driving the disclosure process down below by their ostentatious presence above. Now, why would they be driving a self-disclosure process? I believe it's because that's the least destructive and most appropriate way to go. And that once you have that self-disclosure occur, and then you have an acclimation period, then it's very possible that full open contact will take place, and that's a whole other ball of wax, and I don't have to deal with that yet, thank God.
Let's go to Delaware. Roger, you're on with Stephen Bassett on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I think, you know, when disclosure happens, the first thing the press is going to want is experts who've been researching it for years, such as you guys. But at the same time, they're going to have abduction researchers on there like David Jacobs or Bud Hopkins, and mm-hmm. you're going to have them telling millions of people that, yeah, well, the aliens are abducting, you know, generations of families and parents and children and like, and I think that might be a little harder for people to swallow.
The founders of this country created a state that was open, with free speech, and John Adams in particular wanted a public education system so that we could have the knowledge and the information to be able to deal with what's what. And so we will have an intellectual free-for-all, not free-for-all, but it's going to be dynamic. There's going to be a tremendous amount of information coming out. People will express their opinions and views, and we'll sort through it all. It's going to be better than cable, let me tell you. There'll be debate and discussion. There'll be contention. But that's living. That's life. That's what you want. That's why we went through all this trouble, right? So that we weren't just going to be a bunch of serfs out plowing the grounds while the king partied. We're going to be fully engaging the universe, and it'll be fun. And some of us are going to get angry and upset, and some will disagree. But in time, it will sort itself out. Hopefully not too long. 2-3 years, tops. Then 2012, next. Around December, full open contact. And the aliens and us will all party. I joke here. I don't know when there's going to be open contact. I know this, that, you know, it's given how much activity is going on, it ain't going to surprise me, and I don't think anybody will be surprised if open contact were to take place in a couple of years.
Redding, California. Mark, thank you for holding. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, George. This is Mark Candlish. I was one of the Disclosure Project witnesses, and I
yes.
know Stephen Bassett.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Absolutely.
I have to say, George, that, you know, of course, none of this would be possible without your program, and I have to say that I have always admired Stephen's level of preparation. He's got the answers. He's got the responses. He's right there, boom, boom, boom. It's wonderful how well thought out everything that you are presenting has been. I can't tell you how impressed I am. But I do have to agree with you that one of the things that you've said here is that you're afraid that something will get blown up and that this will divert the process of disclosure and so forth. And I think that's kind of what happened with 9/11, as we saw, you know, 6 months after our 2001 in May National Press Club presentation. But I have contacts in the military that have already told me that they have seen plans that are being prepared for a possible McCain administration to go into Iran and blow up those two nuclear facilities that are there right now being mm-hmm. built by the Russians. It's on paper right now. In fact, I've been told that it was one of the reasons why the Russians actually went into Georgia in anticipation of better strategic placement for their forces because, you know, Georgia is right on the other side of Turkey from Iran. And we have logistical support bases like in Sirlik Air Base in Turkey that support any kind of an operation that would go into Iran if that kind of a thing were to happen. So you're absolutely right. This is the kind of thing that we have to try and prevent from happening because it would be the perfect excuse to, as you say, divert public attention away from this kind of an issue.
Sure. Let me comment. First of all, I happen to think disclosure might have taken place in late 2001, 2002. The Disclosure Project's press conference on May the 9th, 2001 was a big deal. Some people don't think so. I know it was. There were things in the works that could have led to some very interesting developments, but 9/11 changed all that. Stephen Greer has paid his dues. He's been at this since 1988 or something. I mean, that's a long time. He was in it long before I got into it. But in terms of what may or may not happen, in terms of our policy, foreign policy, war policy, and everything else, I can't address those things. I'm not an expert there, and I certainly can't really divert it one way or the other. All I can say is this. I would prefer that before we make any more decisions to invade any more countries, blow up any more nuclear reactors, launch any missiles, or do anything that draconian, that first we be informed about the extraterrestrial presence, be made aware about this technology that might be able to bring us eventually off oil and transform the social political dynamics of this world. Let us be aware of those things, have that knowledge, which we have every right to have, and we paid for it with big bucks. And then if everyone decides they need to go blow up something, fine, okay, then you do it. But this idea that we continue these policies in the dark with major information like this withheld, that's a recipe for catastrophe. And so all I can do is to try to direct the American people's attention and their actions towards effectuating this disclosure event. And if we can put enough letters in the mail November 5th and onward, I think we're going to get it. And with if we're lucky, we'll get it before somebody blows something else up.
Steve,
and by the way, Mark, thanks for your persistence and
good,
involvement.
Good,
you're one of the witnesses. You guys are the heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're all heroes. Everybody's sticking their necks out. Now it's starting to come out, as you said, Stephen. More and more people are beginning to publicize the fact that they knew things, they were involved in. It's truly remarkable, isn't it?
Every witness that comes forward makes it easier for the next one, George.
Absolutely. Stephen, I'll see you in Las Vegas on Friday, and then you're going to be there for the rest of the weekend, I take it, right?
Yep, I'll be there on the weekend and on to Sedona for the 12th, Wednesday, down there at the Creative Life Center. And we'll all be together with Ryan Wood, who puts a wonderful conference on there. UFOconference.com is the website. Still time to sign up. The Tuscany Suites, great hotel, wonderful venue.
Absolutely. Stephen Bassett, thank you so much. For Jason Bowers, Wayne Roberts, Karis Coburn, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. Man, we got an army of people. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.